unless you're married to someone that's on the worship team, few know the sacrifice that they make coming early to lead us in worship, and we just so appreciate that. Amen. Good to be here today at New Hope and missing Pastor Sion. And was he at the Passion Play last night? Okay, that's good. Well, then good to know where he was last night. But it's just good to be here today. As I'm getting ready to talk to you, a lot of you are having this question run through your mind. And the question is simply this: will it help me to hear this sermon? And every time you come to church, you kind of, somewhere back there, you got this thought: will it help me to hear this? And we think about that, and we come to church because we're just hoping, and I hope it's not hoping against hope, that we will be helped by the message. I was praying a prayer this morning: Lord, fill my mouth with useful stuff, and help me stop when I've said enough. So I trust that that's going to happen today. And as I'm thinking about talking to you this morning, any set of facts in your life or in my life can generate any number of stories. Things happen to us. And as a result of the things that happen to us, then we spin a story that comes out of that. And sometimes the story that we tell ourselves as a result of the things that happen to us, the story doesn't work for us. And we need to realize that there are other stories that we can tell ourselves. And sometimes when I'm talking with people, I ask them the question, is that the only way to look at this? Is that the only story that you can tell yourself from those set of circumstances? Because the story that we tell ourselves is like a horse that we have to get on. And we've got to ride that horse into the horizon that it's taking to us. So if you don't like where the horse is taking you because of the story that you're telling yourself, then I simply challenge you with this question: is that the only story that you can tell yourself from the circumstances that happened to you? It's really important, not just what happened to us, but the response we have to that, the story that we tell ourselves in response to what went on. And so this morning, as we're thinking about what's the Word of God, I want you just to be thinking about that. Several years ago, my son was remodeling his house, and in remodeling his house, he was doing some mudding, some gyp rocking, and I went over there one day to help, and I did some mudding, and there was a fellow that we'd hired to do the mudding for us. His name was Jack, and the next day when Jack came on site, he said to my son, Marshall, tell your dad no more mudding. Well, that's kind of interesting, because this week I've been doing quite a bit of mudding at a cottage that we're working on. Is there's kind of, and of all the jobs I dislike doing, one of them is finishing gyp rock. Have any done any gyp rock finishing? It is a dusty, nasty job, and it doesn't get any better until the paint goes on. But it's kind of important that we understand the stories that we tell ourselves. And I've been walking around a little bit, and someone's noticing I've been limping a little bit, and they're saying, is there something wrong with your knee? Is there something wrong with your hip? And I'm saying, no, Advil has become my best friend lately. And I'm reminded of what Bill Brown once says, don't get old. But it's important, no matter what age we are, that we keep telling ourselves stories that will work for us and that will keep us in the game. And someone says we either look at the cup as being half full, or we look at the cup as being half empty. And I'm reminded of a baseball game, and the count was 3 balls and 2 strikes. And the pitcher takes the hard ball and gets the sign from the catcher, and he winds up and he lets go the pitch. And it smacks into the catcher's glove, and the umpire is silent. And finally, the batter turns around to the umpire and says to him, well, what is it? And the umpire said, it ain't nothing until I call it. And in life, what goes on in your life It ain't nothing until you call it. But once you call it, then you've got to live with that, and you've got to understand that. So it's just important that we realize that, how we look at life. So I want you to come with me to the book of Chronicles, 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, we read a very interesting couple of verses. Now, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called him Jabez. And if you look at the very bottom, the name Jabez means he will cause pain. And his mother called him Jabez, saying, I bore him in pain. And Jabez called upon the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he had requested. Jabez was honorable above his brothers, but his mother named him Jabez, sorrow maker. He will cause pain. That's an interesting name for a mother to give a child. Pain causer. He will cause pain. So as we think about this book of Chronicles, reading the book of Chronicles is somewhat like reading the telephone book. It's about as inspiring as that. It's just full of all kinds of names, really important names, because it's developing a genealogy, the genealogy of Judah, which is going to lead us to David, which is important because that's going to then lead us to Jesus. But in this book of genealogy, 2 Chronicles, we find this, it's like an oasis in the desert. It's just like a Dairy Queen. And we see these two very interesting verses about this guy by the name of Jabez. And when we think about this, we think about what people call us. And people say to us things like, you're not good enough. And as we walk through life, we hear people say to us things like, who do you think you are anyway? Others will say, you're not going to amount to a hill of... You've heard that before, haven't you? And as we walk through life, we keep running into these people that say things at us. And it's important that we understand how we react to that. Guilt says you made a mistake. And we can respond by saying, I'm sorry, forgive me. But shame says to us, you are a mistake. And you've got really no business being here. And yet, it's really important that we understand that when you succeed, don't let that success go to your head. But when you fail, don't let that failure go to your heart. It's really important that we understand that. So here's a story that could be some complaining and needs some explaining, and it could be a draining story. And it's a story where a guy gets called a name. And you remember the line, sticks and stones can break my bones, but names will never hurt me. We used to say that when we were kids. But the truth of the matter is, names can not only hurt you, names can kill you. Reminding of a story of a person that took a gun and put it to their head and splattered their brains all over a room, their bedroom. And on the table there was a note. And on the note it said this, I had to do it. I live in a world with hope. They said... And didn't even finish the sentence, but somebody had said something to this person that made life for them unlivable. So it's really important that we understand, that we learn how to handle when things say things to us. Captain Ken Barker, 51, was a corporal with the RCMP, and he was one of over 30 31 RCMP officers who've committed suicide since 2006. Ken Barker is a retired corporal. He was a dog handler in Manitoba. Ken Barker, he was among the first officers on the scene of the beheading of the Greyhound bus passenger in 2008 on the Trans-Canada Highway by Portage La Prairie. And many had tried to reach out to him, and he had withdrawn, he'd isolated himself, and just this week, this fella Ken Barker committed suicide. What makes somebody do that? Saw the picture in the Edmonton Journal, probably you saw it, with his official uniform and his dog behind him. And what? Why does that happen? Well, research says that close to 75% of people judge themselves better than average. Interesting, eh? But that we know can't be so. So let's take a look at Jabez. And we read here that Jabez's life was marked with purity. Jabez, first of all, he was more honorable than his brothers. He's not perfect, but he's more honorable than his brothers. That's the first thing that we find out about this guy in this little faith clip in this book of Chronicles. And we discover the Bible says, blessed is the man who walks in the counsel of the ungodly, who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the paths of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, and his leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The Bible tells us the Lord knows the way of the righteous. The Bible says God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you. The Bible tells us, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. The Bible tells us, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. And so we discover right off the bat about Jabez that he was more honorable. He had brothers. We don't know how many brothers. But amongst these brothers, he was more honorable. Were they dishonorable? Was this a family that had some bad characters in it? I don't know. But the thing that we know about Jabez is that he was more honorable. In this family that could have a bad reputation, he had a good reputation. He was more honorable than his brothers. And I don't know what set him off for being honorable, but it just says that's what it states about him. And then the next thing we discover about this Jabez who was more honorable, we discover that the name Jabez, his life was branded by pain. And the Bible says his mother called his name Jabez because I bore him in pain. Now just think about that. It wasn't some bully that called him Jabez. This wasn't a nickname. His mother, who ought to be on his side, his mother, who ought to be his biggest cheerer, his mother, who ought to be there with words of affirmation. It's the mother who athletes, when they always greet, they say, "And hi, Mom." It's when you talk to successful people, they'll talk about how their mother had influenced them, and a big ingredient behind their success is the push and the affirmation that they got from mothers. I remember in school when I wasn't doing very good in spelling, mother would always read the report card and send the note back to the teacher, send home some homework. Like, that's what mothers are like. They're not going to allow their son to fail, not without them doing everything they can to help him become as good and as strong and as excellent as he can be. But this mother, we don't even know her name. But when he was born, she called his name Jabez, and that Jabez means he will cause pain. Watch out, world. I've just given birth to a pain causer, and he's coming your way. Now, how's that for a handle to live with? Especially when you get it from your mom. And it's interesting when we read this. Now, I don't know. I just drove by Avonmore Elementary School coming here. There's a sign in front of Avonmore School, and the sign is, report suspicious people. I'd like to report this lady. This mother is a suspicious mother that would do this to her son. But, did nobody tell her the facts of life? Didn't she know that when you're going to have a baby, it's like, what did the chicken say when it gave birth to it, what do chickens do? They don't give birth to, they a square egg. It said, ouch.
Anyway, that was not much.
But hadn't somebody told her that it was going to be painful? Maybe he was born breech. I don't know. Maybe he should have been taken cesarean, but that wasn't an option. But when he was born, he caused pain. And the Bible says the Bible tells us, Genesis chapter 3, verse 16, and to the woman God said, in pain you shall bring forth children. So she shouldn't have been surprised by this. This is what God had said was going to happen. But anyway, when he was born, and then on the eighth day when he was circumcised and it was time for him to be named, the pain was so real, it was so fresh in her memory, that she said, he's going to be called Jabez. Pain, sorrow, grief. Now, I don't know, was it because there was something going on physically that caused this? I don't know, was his birth, did it cause social pain for her? Did it cause emotional pain for her, cultural pain for her? We're not told what caused the pain. But when she named him, she said, he shall be called Pain. I guess it was, for her, it was like giving birth to a porcupine. And she just thought, there's just no other name we can call this guy than Jabez. He shall be called Jabez. And he will cause pain. He's going to cause pain. He caused it for me. He's going to cause it for you. Like, one of the keys to interpreting the Bible is biblical names, and the meaning of those names give you a clue to biblical characters. And if you're trying to find out who somebody is and what they're like in the Bible, if you look at the meaning of their name, their meaning of their name oftentimes relates to their character. And we see that in cases like Barnabas. Barnabas means son of consolation, and he is one of the nicest guys in the New Testament, Barnabas. Then he named Joshua, which means savior. And then along comes a guy by the name of Jacob, and he is a supplanter. And Jacob means supplanter. And he's just like his name. He's a cheat. And so along comes Jabez, and he is never going to stop causing pain. He is a pain producer. He's going to be a pain in the neck. He's going to be a bully. He's going to be a disappointment. He's going to rob. He's going to kill. He's going to lie. You can name the pain, and he's got the potential to produce it. He will cause pain. Now, how would you like to start off life like that? So every time you were playing a sport, every time you were being called for lunch, every time you went to work and they called your name, every time in school when you put up your hand and the name Jabez, yes, Jabez, It reverberated this message: he will cause pain. I can tell you, if you're looking for a husband for your daughter, don't find Jabez, because that's not going to make for a good marriage, because he's going to cause pain. And in school, when he shows up in school, beware, teacher, because this guy, he's going to cause pain. He's going to be trouble. He's going to be trouble in the classroom. And his name could have put limits on his life. It could have affected his self-image. It could have made him feel insecure and inferior. And it could have done all of that. Remember a few years ago, there was a guy by the name of Johnny Cash, and he sang this song about the mother that gave her son, and it's a boy named Sue, you know what I mean? And she was trying to turn this guy into some sort of a macho guy, and so she called him Sue so that he would fight against that name. I don't know if that was going on here. I don't think so. But the next thing we discover from this passage is that Jabez was pushed to pray. Like, this is why these two sentences are in the Bible, is because what he did with what he couldn't change. And it's important to understand that there's things in life that you can't change and I can't change, and it's what we do with those things that we cannot change. I've got a friend many years ago in Olathe, Kansas. His last name was Mills, and his first name was Lois. And he says, Lois, that's an unusual name for a guy. He says, I gave that name to myself. Lois. Oh, why? Well, he says, I didn't like the name that my mother gave me, and so I said, from now on, my name is going to be called Lois. Well, I don't know if I would have done that, but Anyway, he had this name Jabez, and maybe he wanted to have changed his name too. But it pushed him to prayer. It sent him to his knees. It opened his mouth, and it pushed him to God. And we hear him as he cries out to God. Don't feel sorry for him, because it's his past, it's his name that brought him to God. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Jabez decided to process his labels with prayer. And rather than thinking, I'm going to always cause pain, I'm never good enough, no, it drove him to prayer. And then we see this. We see what he prayed about. The first thing he prayed up was this: oh, that you would bless me indeed. He wasn't asking for a little blessing. He says, God, I want you to bless me. And there's a key word, indeed. I want you to really bless me. A great prayer to pray for a guy that's supposed to cause pain. Oh, God, that you would bless me. Not an average blessing, not an ordinary blessing. Oh, that you would bless me indeed, abundantly, an overflowing blessing. And he cried out to God, asking for that, to the God, the Most High God, that God would bless him. So the first thing he prays for is for God's provision, for the provision that would bring blessing into his life. Oh, that you would bless me indeed. And I don't know what you're living with. I don't know what title or name or history or what people have called you or what people think of you. But you could stop right now and you could say, oh God, in spite of what everybody's saying about me, in spite of my history, in spite of what people think of me, oh, that you would interrupt all of this by blessing me indeed. Amen? Because God is the God of all blessings, and he will bless us. Number two, we see that he asked for provision. Number two, he said, oh, that you would enlarge my territory. So the second thing he's asking for is for promotion. There's a sphere of influence. And so he's asking, oh God, that you would bless me. And in this world, there's a sphere of influence. You have a sphere of influence. I have a sphere of influence. In fact, there are probably 250 people that you and I have a strong enough influence on that we could help them decide whether they should do something or not do it, buy something or not buy. We have an influence over about 250 people. When they build a funeral home, they build it to handle at least 250 people, because 250 people is about what comes to people's funerals, because we've got that much influence over people. And so he's praying, oh, that you would enlarge my territory. Oh, that you would enlarge my sphere of influence. And we want to do that. We want to pray, I don't want to be someone that's going to cause pain, but may I be a blessing in my world. Would you enlarge my sphere of influence so that I can be good news and I can be a blessing to those that are around me? So the second thing he prays for is for promotion, that God would enlarge his sphere of influence. Then the third thing he prays is this, that your hand would be with me. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So that we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. So the third thing that Jabez prays for is, oh, that you would be with me, that your hand would be with me. Isn't it good to know that God says, I'm never going to leave you? God has said, I'm never going to forsake you. But that's just not enough for us to understand this precious promise. I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. The key in Hebrews is, what do we say in response to that? It's one thing for God to make a statement, but it's quite another thing for you and I to have the right response to that statement. So he himself has said, I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. Now, Hebrews goes on. So that you and I, this is the key, can boldly say, this is the key, you see, not just what God says. That's one thing. The key is what you say in response to what God says. Amen? So that you and I can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? And it's this response, this declaration, this confession that we have in response to what God says. that really makes the big difference in our world. And so here's this fellow that says, he will cause pain. He's saying, oh God, that your hand would be with me, that you would enlarge my territory, that you would bless me indeed. And then the fourth thing that Jabez prays is this, that you would keep me from evil. So the fourth thing he's praying for is praying for protection. And Jesus, when he taught us to pray, he taught us to pray, oh, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And when you have a name like Jabez, the potential to fulfill that name is incredible. To the potential to walk through your world and be a full-time pain causer is right there. But he is saying, oh God, may that not happen. May you keep me from evil. May you keep me from doing that. May I put on the whole armor of God, if we could think in New Testament terms, that I could stand against the wiles of the enemy. And the Bible talks about, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives to the death. So the fourth thing he's praying is praying for protection, that God would keep him from evil. And then the fifth thing that Jabez prays is this, that I may not cause pain. I think it's true. Hurting people hurt people. Can I give it to you again? Hurting people hurt people. And Jabez is praying this, that I may not cause pain. You know what he's saying? Oh God, turn my mother into a false prophet. Let everybody realize it. She didn't know what she was talking about when she named me. Oh, may I not cause pain. His name and nature and heritage and history, his genes and genius, they were crashed into with this prayer. He will cause pain. But here we see him backing up and saying, oh, may I not cause pain. May I not do that. And then we see the response to all of this. So God granted him what he requested. Amen? Isn't it good to realize that? That here's a fellow, he prayed these things, and then the response is, God said yes. The last thing we hear about Jabez is at the end of verse 10. God granted him what he requested. Amen. Now, what kind of a God do you serve? You and I serve the kind of God that can make the difference in who we are and in what people think our potential is, but we can make a big difference in that. And that's the good news of the gospel. The good news is that there can be change. The good news is that there can be a difference. And life is fragile. And we need to handle life with prayer because it is so fragile. But here's a fellow that, when he responded to this statement from his mother, he responded to it with prayer. And in response to that, a big difference came. Now, what's going on in your life? What are you dealing with? What label has somebody put upon you? What expectation does somebody have? Where is there a change that you'd like to take place in your life? It's possible that we don't have to carry on the way we are, that we can have a change. There can be a difference. And there can be a difference because God steps into lives like yours and like mine. I mean, that's the good news of the gospel. Amen? Is that we can be born again. Kevin O'Leary says in one of his books, problematic people don't change. Well, in one sense, I believe that. But in another sense, I realize that cannot be true. Because of the gospel, problematic people get changed. It's called being born again. Amen? It's called being converted. It's called being saved, being forgiven, being delivered. And because of who God is, he is the deliverer, he's the savior, he's the life giver. And because of all of that, it's possible for our life to be changed. So somebody might have come along and said, no, you're not going to amount to anything. And rather than being boxed in by that, Just stop. And the good news is this. Even though it was somebody as important as your mother that did that to you, in spite of that, that's not what your potential is. Your potential is what God wants you to be. Amen. And we can find that out and we can become who God wants us to become. That's the good news. Amen. And that is all possible through us, through Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Stand with me, please. Amen. Now, every one of us here this morning is living with a sentence that somebody said. We're living with a circumstances that we can't do anything about. Like, we can't go back and change the past, but we can start now and have a different future, and that's possible through Jesus Christ. And rather than going on and telling ourselves the same story and repeating that over and over again, it's time to stop the story and start the prayer. Oh, that you would enlarge my influence. Oh, that you would bless me indeed. Oh, that I would not do what people expect me to. Oh, that I would not do what I've been doing in the past, that there would change happen. And I want to pray that that'll happen in your life. So, Father, this morning, we are here because of the good news. And the good news is that change is possible. And so I pray this morning for each person that's here that you'll give them a new story that they can tell themselves. May they, for the very first time, not just hear that you're never going to leave them or forsake them, but for the very first time, may they be able to respond by saying, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? May they confess, oh God, what they can confess because of what you say in your word. May they come from that place of saying, I can't do it, to the place of saying, through Christ who strengthens me, I can do all things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I pray, Father, that this will be the day when bondages will stop. This is the day, it will be the day when lies will end. This will be a day when hurt will be healed. This will be a day when guilt will be forgiven. This will be a day when memory will be healed. Hallelujah. This will be a day of new beginnings. This will be a day of fresh start. This will be a day of walking in the light as you are in the light. And I pray that for every friend that's here today, that today will be a day of fresh beginnings in you. In Christ's name we pray. In Christ's name we pray. Have you ever tried to change someone? It's really difficult. Have you ever tried to change yourself? It's really difficult. We're going to need God's help. Amen. Amen. We're going to need God's help. And that's what he does. Amen. That's what Jabez is all about. God helps people like you and me to experience real change in our real world. Amen. Praise God. Service monitor. Would this be good to turn it back to you? Good being with you. How you doing? Good. Amen.
Thank you very much, Lauren. You already closed in prayer, so just God be with you and until we meet again, and we'll see you guys next Sunday.